I'm Tom Rivers. No government shutdown, President Biden signing a short-term spending bill late last night, approved by both chambers of Congress. It funds the government into the new year.
The House and Senate buying themselves another 2 months until they face the same crisis in January, this time with a two-tier possible shutdown. Some funding expiring before the rest, and while President Biden signing the bill, the House Republican majority needed virtually every Democratic vote to keep the government open. Andy Field, ABC News.
The president wraps up the APEC summit in San Francisco later today. Last night, he hosted a dinner for world leaders after announcing agreements on clean energy, anti-corruption, and supply chain security. Biden meets with Mexico's president today before heading back east. And in the Israel-Hamas war, Israeli forces continue to go through the Al-Shifa medical facility, finding what they say is evidence Hamas used the hospital as a command center. This is ABC News. The federal government is now looking into demonstrations and other college campus activities amid the Israel-Hamas war.
Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prohibits discrimination based on race, color, or national origin, including shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. The Department of Education is now investigating 6 colleges in 1 K-12 school district, Mays Unified in Kansas, for alleged Title VI violations. 5 complaints allege anti-Semitism, 2 claim anti-Muslim harassment. 3 of the schools are in the Ivy League, Columbia, Penn, and Cornell, along with Lafayette, Wellesley, and New York's Cooper Union. Brian Clark, ABC News.
In the market for a Hyundai, you'll be able to buy it on Amazon starting next year. Customers can schedule delivery through a local dealer. Buyers of new Hyundai vehicles in 2025 will also be able to access Amazon's Alexa from their cars. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Everywhere you look, from groceries to utilities to gas, prices keep going up. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can dramatically help lower your energy costs year-round by replacing drafty windows and doors in as little as 6 weeks. And now you can save even more by taking advantage of no interest and no down payment for up to 36 months when you order by November 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Offer ends 11/30/2023.
A flooded basement, a backed up sewer, a fire in your home or garage. Each of these can be devastating, and no one understands that better than Midwest Restoration. 24/7, 365 days a year, they are the ones to call to help with your damage to your property and oftentimes to your family. Midwest Restoration, family owned since 2008, they've built their incredible reputation on being there for those in need. No one wants to have to make this call, but if you do, it's 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Research shows even more people would be working in Wisconsin if it weren't for childcare challenges.
Difficulty in finding childcare translated into about 60,000 workers, potential workers, that weren't in the workforce because of that.
Dennis Winters is the chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin in Madison find the donated brains of men who were veterans in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26% times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
It's the Packers against the Chargers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-6 Packers host the 4-5 Chargers Sunday at Lambeau Field. Former offensive tackle Brian Bulaga is in town and says he wants to retire as a Packer. Bulaga played for both Green Bay and the Chargers. Kickoff at noon, game time weather pretty good for the middle of November. Sunshine and 45. Although Green Bay has struggled with this young roster, one player is having a great rookie season. Jaden Reed's stats are getting close to another receiver, Sterling Sharp. I asked Reed, what's the key to preparing for these games?
Getting a better feel for the offense, understand my job, and just, you know, studying your opponent, know what they do, and, you know how to attack them.
College football, the Badgers hope to snap a 3-game losing streak when they host Nebraska 6:30 tomorrow night in Madison. Badgers running back Braylon Allen trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. Will he be able to play?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 44. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 30. Tonight, clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 51. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 38.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning.
The mayor has the day off. A very rare day off.
Well deserved.
Well deserved. Sandra Rank is capably filling in his chair. I mean, you went over to the guest chair and Todd was like, no. You're in the cockpit seat today.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be here.
Good to have you here.
Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Yes. It will be interesting to say the least.
Oh, it'll be fun. We've got a great lineup.
Yes, we do. Really good.
Including Bart Starr Jr. at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know our big campaign that we want to do for Bart Starr Jr.?
I don't.
Jim and I talked about this.
Oh, that's why I don't know. You didn't. I'm always the last to know.
I'm a walker.
Really?
Gee,
wow.
That's why I hesitated, just because I always have to wait for that reaction.
That was right out of the gate.
Right there. Right,
yeah.
Just
right off the bat. She's filling in that chair very well.
Quick kick. right off the bat, just to, you know, get her boundaries. Okay. Take a guess.
Just keeping it real.
Take a guess how many steps I did yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes. I got to find that little thingy.
Yesterday was what day? Thursday?
Yeah, it was a really nice day.
Thursday.
Whoever comes the closest between you two.
Okay, since you said you're a walker.
A prize for me.
And knowing you, if you do anything, you do it like cray-cray level.
Okay.
I'm going to say 12,000.
Ooh.
Todd?
I'm going to go closer to 7,500.
Ooh. 6,797. Todd, you're a winner.
Well, we were both over. If it was the Price is Right, neither
one of us would win. Oh, that's
true.
So you guys don't win.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I do it. But
you underperformed. You underperformed, in my opinion.
I know, and that's what is frustrating with this little.
The goal is 10,000.
Really, Sandra?
The goal is 10,000.
So what did I? See,
everybody knows that.
It says 67% of my progress. I just read.
Well, that would be 10,000. That's 67%.
Okay, you can look. Todd, look this up.
Yeah.
There's a new thing that says 6,000 is all you need.
Underachievers.
6,000, and you like stop aging, and lose all kinds of weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're saying 8,000 to 10,000. A good benchmark, however, is 6,000 to 8,000.
See?
So I expect more of you, John.
Later in life.
I disappoint you all the time. I can't do anything to get credit from you, Mom.
But that's actually a really big increase for you.
Oh my God.
I mean, really? He was doing like 600.
Guess how many steps I do a day.
Let me.
No, guess. Guess how many steps I do a day.
10,000.
Oh,
maybe
more
1,000.
Oh, really?
I need to get back in the saddle.
Okay, let me just tell you. Of course, I had that knee injury though, kind of. Right. So last Tuesday, 862.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's more normal for me.
Yeah.
I need to get going too. Boy, do I ever.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Don't you love it when like people that are like really in shape say, "Oh my God, I really got to start working out.
I am not really in shape. I just don't eat a lot. I'm not an eater. I'm not a foodie.
Are you still a swimmer?
No, I'm not a swimmer. You know what? That's not true. I used to, well, like last year I swam. I don't know. I just kind of
fell
off
the
wagon.
But you're not like going to the Y type of person swimming laps?
I did go to Pulaski High School and swim laps.
I know
at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, you were a
swimmer. Because it open swim. Pulaski.
I would do that. Here's, I would do that every day if I knew how to swim.
Okay, you should learn to know how to swim.
Me and Milton are the only two people that can say
you should take lessons with Milton.
How is that possible?
Well, we didn't have a pool in our high school, and we had a lake, and nobody was allowed to swim in the lake.
Did you not get swimming lessons?
Obviously not. Here's a, I've told this story before. This was swimming lessons. You would, Saturday mornings, you'd take your towel and your little shorts or whatever, and you'd go and wait for the school bus. School bus would take you to Lake Michigami, a place called Champion Beach.
Which is freezing.
Mm-hmm. The big kids would throw the little kids off the dock. The instructor would sit there smoking cigarettes, reading magazines. Swear.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, no, I had swimming lessons as a kid. But here's a cool fact about Pulaski High School. It has open swim from, I think it's 5 to 7:30. And it's a saltwater pool.
Where is that?
Pulaski High School.
Say it again.
It's actually in the old middle school.
Say it again. Say it again.
Why?
Just say it.
Pulaski High School.
Oh, you said it a little bit better. Because normally, and you did say it the first time.
What?
People from that town, they say like P-L-A-S-K-I. Plask. Not Pulaski. Pulask.
Oh, Pulaski. Oh, yes. My God. What do you say?
Pulaski.
Pulaski. I do say that.
Pulaski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's kind of like people from Two Rivers, so it's like just Trivers type of thing.
Or Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. Yeah. Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. By the way, somebody just texted, Tori, okay, when you lock your keys in your car, you don't have a choice but to walk. Poor Dom locked his keys in his car last night up in like around Kewaunee.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never fun.
Triple A did
especially
not
at
come
night
through. For the, at night, it was late, and it was just, oh, what a nightmare for him. Yeah.
Not so fun.
I had that habit for a time, and I went out to my Jeep Cherokee Sport one day, and I realized I'd locked my keys in again, and I took a crowbar.
Of course you did.
And I smashed in.
Oh my God. You went Tiger Woods.
I went Tiger Woods. It was back when they still had like the small windows. You know, I never knew what those windows were for. You know, the little
smoking
sailboats. Is that what they were for?
I think so.
Just to blow the smoke out without having the whole thing, huh? Okay.
Okay, that's a cool little trivia fact.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That would never occur to me.
I mean, at least in my family, my parents would always crack those open just a bit and hold their cigarette over there so the smoke would kind of...
That totally makes sense, and I never knew that.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. All right. Look at this. We always try to be informative on the show, right?
So you cracked open... I smashed it up. That little one.
Yep. I smashed it. And then took a piece of... Like, I did it the Uper way to fix it. Took a piece of clear plastic... wrap and duct taped it from the inside.
For how many years did you
about
drive?
A year and a half.
Okay.
About a year and a half.
You know, they do make these magnetic things that you can put extra set of keys in.
And I know.
Put them up like the tire rim.
I know. I've never done that.
I did it once because I locked my keys up, but I haven't done it.
Worst feeling in the world, isn't it? And it used to be so easy with a coat hanger. You know, you just slip that right through where the rubber part is between the door to the seal. Yeah. And you just get down there and boom, piece of cake. But now it's impossible. It's unbelievable.
Well, it can't be impossible because the locksmiths do it.
Well, they must have one of those police things, right?
I think
so. Where they slide it right down and just kind of pull it up. Yeah.
How do you get one of those police things?
I did tell you about the I don't know. I got to get one, though. I got some old cop friends. I got locked out of my apartment in Kakana a couple of years ago. It was real cool. I called the lady, you know, who ran the apartment complex. And she said, I live in, you know, Oshkosh or something. I'm not coming up. She says, call the fire department. Fire department was like within walking distance. I mean, close walking distance to where I lived in Kakana. Okay. So I actually walked there, said, hey guys, they said, okay, well, we'll get the engine. I said, well, no, it's right there. I'm literally going, oh no, we have to take the engine. And like six guys, it's like, what? So here I am sitting there waiting. Here comes the whole fire engine pulling up to my apartment and walking in with me. So everybody looking out their windows, like, what's going on?
Right.
They got into that apartment in 8 seconds. So it's like, you got to be careful, folks. If you ever get in a fight with a firefighter and he doesn't like you and he's a little bad guy, he can get into your house. I mean, he got in so quick, it's mind boggling with some kind of special tool they had.
Well, I guess they would have to have that because I.
Well, yeah, if there's, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's almost like, wow, I got my doors locked and I can't, and they've got some kind of a tool that's unbelievable how fast they can get in. Hmm. Yeah. So Anyway, well, today is National Take a Hike Day. I thought we had that day yesterday, Todd.
Nope. Okay. That was, I don't know, something else.
All right. Today is all. Thanks for that description, Todd. Well, that was something else. Todd, our producer.
Yesterday's gone.
National Homemade Bread Day.
Ooh.
There's nothing better.
Okay, so our office is by Voyager Bakehouse.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, cue the ducks, right?
I know.
What could be better for a real estate office than a bread company?
Unbelievable.
But it is crazy amazing every day.
Is there, you know what's funny? When I was on one of my trips overseas, before I left, I asked the guys to give me a list of things that we take for granted here that they miss. You know, that's like you never thought you would miss type of thing. And it was really interesting. It was like the smell of fresh cut grass and, you know, some of those things. And one of the guys said, same type of thing. He worked near a bakery. And he said, just walking through the parking lot, smelling that fresh bakery stuff. He said, I just can't wait for that smell. And that's true.
Did your mom bake bread when you were a kid?
Absolutely.
So did my mom.
And it was the best.
It was the, when you came home from school and you.
You're exactly right.
It was the, and we would have like tons of butter and homemade jelly.
Homemade jelly. Yep.
Oh my God.
Yep. She homemade jelly, so homemade bread, all that stuff.
And the whole loaf would be gone. Yeah. We would eat the entire loaf. It was so good.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't have a single gene of it. I was talking to my brother because I'm going to go up and stay at his deer hunting camp next week for a couple of days. And I was talking about, I'm going to bring my omelet maker. I've got an omelet maker. Do you have an omelet maker?
Don't you just make that like in a pan?
I've got an omelet maker. Okay?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a cool thing. It's an omelet maker.
What is it?
It's like a
waffle maker?
Yeah. Okay. But it makes
new from Ronco.
But it makes omelets. I could never get omelets to cook right in a pan. You try to flip them and they break open.
Okay.
This holds it all together. In one.
Okay.
And then you just slide it. But I was telling my brother, I'm going to have pancakes. I said, I don't know how to make pancakes. How do you not know how to make pancakes? I said, I don't know how to make pancakes.
Well, did you learn?
No. So maybe I'll learn up there. But I mean, I always burn them. And it's, how do you know when to flip them?
When the bubbles pop.
Really?
So when you make a pancake, when you put the pancakes in, when the bubble, it bubbles, right? When the bubbles start popping, when the majority of them are popped, that's when you flip it.
I did not know that.
Well, now you know.
I've learned two things today. I learned, thank you for letting us know, Todd, that those little windows are for smoking. And that when the bubbles pop, you flip
the
pancake over. I didn't. Todd, did you know that?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, of course.
Todd probably knows how to swim, too.
I actually don't.
You don't?
I'm not a swimmer.
Wow.
I was the one that pretended, but I was actually walking on the bottom of the lake or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
We were
so
like...
you and me, Todd.
That's great. That's a great group to be in, right?
Are we the loser group? Huh? Total loser group. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Danny DeVito, 79 years old.
He is amazing.
He was in town one time, a few years back, for something, some political type cause or whatever, and went to, I think it was a sardine can, and what they said was the most gregarious, friendly guy all night long to everybody that came up to him.
Do you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That is so
I can watch
so
him
good.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Love
natural,
Danny DeVito.
Natural talent.
Love him. Martin Scorsese, of course, who's phenomenal. What's your favorite Martin Scorsese film?
They're so violent that is it one like the cocaine one with Robert De Niro or whatever, or is it Al Pacino?
Scarface.
I've watched.
Was that Scorsese?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I think it was, but I'm not positive.
I know Taxi Driver was. That was his first one.
It's a little before my time.
In fact, he played the part of the pimp in Taxi Driver that De Niro shot. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? He played that part. Yeah.
Good memory.
For you. Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
No. He played the part of the guy sitting in De Niro's cab who was going to go kill his wife because she was having that affair and they were watching through the window. And it was Harvey Keitel that played the pimp.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot.
What a memory.
We got a lot. Once again, Bart Starr Jr. will be joining us at 7:30, which I'm so excited about.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. We got a great show coming up, folks. Sandra Rank filling in. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a Friday morning. The mayor has today off. Sandra Rank from Sandra Rank Realty filling in. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
How far back do you and I go?
I was thinking about that on the way in here. I think the early 90s.
I think so, too.
I think that was when I first met you.
Yeah.
Because I worked in television then. And yes. you were a sportscaster at that
yes,
time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Got this text. Danny DeVito in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was epic. That was such a great movie.
That I have seen. That was really good.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, of all time? Probably Out of Africa.
Ah!
I love that movie.
Is that Robert Redford?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
There was another one.
See that one.
Called House of Spirits that is so, it's 3 hours. It's really good.
House of Spirits?
House of Spirits.
Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
It's really good.
Okay. That seems like something like Todd would see.
What is it about ghosts and stuff? Oh, okay.
House of Spirits, no. It's actually about a family history during a war. It was.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
But the people that are in it are like Winona Ryder, Meryl Streep.
Oh, wow.
Glenn Close. Jeremy Irons, who's Antonio Banderas.
Huge names.
Huge names. And they back when they weren't huge, though. Old.
Okay, you want to know the scariest? Because Todd has seen every scary movie there is. And he sleeps in haunted basements, and he does all that kind of stuff. But the one movie that I've ever, or the one TV show I ever saw that literally scared me, like scared, okay, was within the, what was the name of that, Todd? It was that, but you'd like it because it's part about real estate. It's all about real estate.
Oh.
And, oh, I can't think of the name of it. This couple, they move into this. They buy this really cool house in, like, upstate New York. And it's, like, really old. And people don't want them doing anything to it. And the neighbors are just, like, evil. They act like they're nice, but they're really evil. And
is it called The Watcher?
Yes.
I've seen that. That is really, that's based on a true story.
I know.
It was never solved.
Yes. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, that was a freaky movie.
And it's all about real estate and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, it was a freaky movie.
Todd, did you see that one?
I didn't.
Todd, you should watch it.
You got to watch that
one. The Watcher is good.
Yeah, it's really something. Oof.
Okay, so,
anyway.
So let's talk. Mandy Southers is going to be our 6:30 guest.
Yes.
And let's talk about that a little bit.
Because we were there 2 days ago.
So let's explain who she is.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it from here and go.
Okay, so.
Because this is, once again, you're one of the top realtors in the state of Wisconsin. But you also have another passion. So take it from there.
So just to recap really briefly, my husband and I's son died of a fentanyl overdose going on 2 years ago in January. And, of course, there's a lot that happens when you go through that experience as a family, as just everything. That's one part of the story. The second part of the story is once you know something, you can't unknow it. And I feel like I can't not help with regards to fentanyl because it's so very bad. I think the big points that I would like to help get out there are a couple of them. The first one is that the drugs of today are not the drugs of even 2 years ago. They are really powerful. They are really dangerous. And I feel like if you decide to experiment with them, many times you don't get the option to ever be free of them. I think it's really hard to break away from them. And Mandy is a person that runs the Darjeune Sober Living Houses. We met Mandy when we were trying to help Mitch. And let me tell you, there's basically very little help out there for any, there is no opiate detox. There's really no, not therapy.
Halfway houses.
She has that. She has sober living, but there's no
counseling.
No, what do you call? I came in. My brain's dead. It's this morning.
Todd, help us out here.
Rehab.
Oh, rehab. Oh, okay.
There's really no rehab in our area, especially for those kind of drugs. So Mandy is someone that I met that is extremely passionate about helping people get through this, and she is opening up. There is no other one in the state. It's an opiate detox center where it will have 40 beds. Right now, she's in the process of trying to get help to get the place outfitted, get it open. Her goal is to be open up in the beginning of January. And I want to do everything I can to help her because I feel like as a member of our community, when you go through something like what we went through, a lot of people, a lot of our friends are like, just shut that door. That was so horrible. That was so painful. Just shut the door. And I could shut the door, but I can't. I can't be a member of our community, have gone through that, and not turn around and try to help in some way. And I think the ways that we help are, number one, awareness, education. And then if someone wants to try to get better, that they should have a safe, healthy, decent place in which to do that. And there isn't any place right now. So I feel like that's what we should do. And that's how we can help. Because a lot of people get caught up in, like when I've met with every person who's anyone in our county, I've met with them. And some of the talk is, it's such a huge problem. It's overwhelming. And I'm like, and actually, I found out yesterday, Brown County is the worst, has the worst fentanyl problem in the state.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I don't want to say where I've heard it from, but it's extremely reliable. They had a meeting yesterday about this.
Yeah.
And that they were like, why is that? They don't know why it is. But anyway, so my point is, it's overwhelming to a lot of people. But what you can do is you can chunk it down to what you can do. And what you can do is help your family, be aware of it, talk to other people, have the schools be educating our kids. I'll give you a real quick example. We were at a function this past weekend, and there was a situation where there was a fire truck, an ambulance, and a police car out in front of a restaurant. And this little 7-year-old and this little 11-year-old and I were looking out the window, and the little 7-year-old said, well, what's that? And I said, I wasn't thinking. I just said, well, it's probably a heart attack. Someone choked, or it's an overdose. And the little 7-year-old said, well, what's an overdose? The 11-year-old said, well, that's when you take too much bad medicine and you can die from that. And the little 7-year-old said, why would anybody do that? And the little 11-year-old said, addiction. That's why people do that. And the little boy said, well, what's addiction? And he said, that's where you take something you never should have taken. You can't stop taking it once you take it and you die. Now, okay.
Wow.
That's educating.
For an 11-year-old.
An 11-year-old. But I feel like kids today, humans today, are way older than they were when we were that age.
No question.
So I feel like we have to meet people where they're at, talk to them at a level that's real, not like, don't do drugs.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I mean, we need to really educate our people very young and talk to them about addiction. Talk to them about don't just say these drugs are so bad. Show them graphs. Show them brains, like what a brain looks like after you overdose on fentanyl. It eats your brain. You can't grow a new brain. So, I mean, I feel like we have to really educate. That's our opportunity. And I think we'd provide help if people want help. Those are two things we can do.
Right. And it is so addictive, it's mind-boggling, right?
Right, it is. And that's a whole nother show. I mean, that it's like one of the police officers told me, it's like the zombie apocalypse, which I completely agree. I think it's very hard to kick this stuff if you've started it, but people do. And if you want to, there should be a place that you can go. And Mandy is the only person I've met through the years of being in these
trenches,
and she's hardcore, and she cares, and she's willing to help. God, I think we're so lucky to have her in this county. It's unbelievable. And I think we need to support her.
Well, we're going to meet her in just a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Sounds great. Sandra Rank filling in for the mayor today. Once again, we got a big show, including Bart Starr Jr. coming up at 7:30. Mine or the Mayor's Show, WGBW, back after this. They say it can't be won.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers.
No government shutdown. President Biden signing a short-term spending bill late last night, approved by both chambers of Congress. It funds the government into the new year.
The House and Senate buying themselves another 2 months until they face the same crisis in January, this time with a two-tier possible shutdown, some funding expiring before the rest. And while President Biden signing the bill, the House Republican majority needed virtually every Democratic vote to keep the government open. Andy Field, ABC News.
The president wraps up the APEC summit in San Francisco later today. Last night, he hosted a dinner for world leaders after announcing agreements on clean energy, anti-corruption, and supply chain security. Biden meets with Mexico's president today before heading back east. And in the Israel-Hamas war, Israeli forces continue to go through the Al-Shifa medical facility, finding what they say is evidence Hamas used the hospital as a command center. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Low unemployment is holding steady in Wisconsin, 3.2% in October compared to 3.1% in September. Department of Workforce Development economist Dennis Winters.
People are getting jobs. They're getting paid well, and hence they're spending that money. And as you know, that's what drives the U.S. economy pretty much.
More than 3 million people are working in non-farm jobs in Wisconsin. That's close to a record. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 44. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 30. Tonight, clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 51. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, the Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Miss
this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Jim has the day off. Sandra Rank filling in very capably. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, sooner or later, it's going to start getting awfully cold, but now is a great time to give Pella Windows and Doors a call or check them out at PellaWI.com for a free consultation. Have them come out, test the windows, test the doors, see how much cold air you got coming in, see how much heat is going out. Pella Windows and Doors, they are so great at dealing with people on a personal level. Jim Schmidt can verify that himself. He's got all Pella Windows and Doors and things like that. And tell you what, he can't say enough great things about them. So check it out, PellaWI.com. Just found out Mandy cannot make it in today.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the trip you and I made a couple of days ago to a facility that she wants to turn into this place.
Yes, the Opiate Rehab Center. So what the thing that what I think is very interesting about what she's doing is, well, first of all, that she's doing it. Kudos to her. But secondly, a lot of times when you go to a rehab center, they have one way of doing it. And that's usually the 12-step program. So in her facility, what she'd like to, what she will be offering is, if you want to do the 12-step, you can. If you want to do the Native American route, you can. If you want to do a spiritual route, you can. A religious route, you can. There are many ways to recovery. There's not just one path. And what she would like to offer is, what works for you and how can we help that? How can we help you on that path? And she has connections because she's been doing this so long. In all of those different modalities, she has people that can help you. So I feel like that's a unique approach to it versus a one-size-fits-all.
And they've got a facility, but they need some help with the facility, right?
Correct. So what they're looking for, I think a brilliant idea that they have is that there are 20 bedrooms. There's a rec area, there's a kitchen, there's a family, like a lunchroom area. They have a conference room area, they have different areas. And they would, we could try her on the phone.
Okay.
We could try that.
All right.
What they're doing is they are having the community adopt different areas. So for instance, if you wanted to do one of the bedrooms, you could sponsor one of the bedrooms in honor of a loved one. So then, hang on 1 second. I'm just going to get a phone number. Sorry.
But we were out there, and it's a great facility as far as the layout-wise. I mean, plenty of space. It just needs some serious
help. So you can adopt a bedroom.
Structurally, they need new bathrooms and things like that.
Well, they need, like when they turn the shower on, the shower runs into the hallway.
Well, you can see, it's weird. Whoever put in that tile floor, it's got a bevel to it that when the water gets to a certain part, it just runs right out into the hallway.
Right.
I mean, so it's just some bad
Mechanics. Right. So they do need help. So you can sponsor. We could set you up with Mandy. You could donate. There are so many different ways that you can help. Paint rooms.
Different things.
Clean windows. I mean, they need cleaning mostly.
Right.
Painting. And then if you want to adopt a room, you could, like if you want to honor a loved one that passed away, they'll name that room after that person. Then you decorate it how you want to decorate it, how you think that person would want it. So like, for instance, we took the family room area and we're doing that in honor of Mitch.
Yep.
So we'll do that in a way that Mitch would love. And I think, you know, right now that building is in pretty rough shape. And I would like to get it to help her to get it to the point where when people walk in, it's uplifting and doesn't look like they feel.
You talked about when you brought Mitch to a place, you felt horrific when you left him there because it was such a dump. Yeah.
I was sick to my stomach. And we had to go to, that was in Michigan.
Yeah.
And it was, and then the other thing about Mandy is, any rehab that you go to typically is about $50,000. She wants to make this affordable for anyone that wants it. She could make it happen for them.
I don't know if people realize $50,000.
Yeah, and that's for 30 days.
Oh, my Lord.
That's not...
$50,000 for 30 days.
And the other thing that Mandy's doing that I think is really important is her approach is you could be there 4 months, and then you go into secondary living.
And I believe we have Mandy now, Todd.
Fantastic.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Mandy. Good morning.
Hi, Sandy. Morning.
Good morning. Hey, we were just talking about your facility. So just talking about what you offer, the different modalities that you want to help generally any income group, not just people that have money. And more specifically talking about what you need to help you get the center up and running.
Okay. So
Where would you like me to start?
Well, first of all, what do you need physical help on over there? As far as we're talking a little bit of bathrooms and things like that, just a quick little wish list of things you'd like to get improved.
Well, we have two facilities that we obtained. So the first facility, we need to figure out how to get a sprinkler system in, one that goes in the ceiling. And then we also need a shower. The second facility, the floors probably haven't been replaced in a very long time. But we've been working on trying to look at getting someone to help us with the flooring in there. Some upgrade in the kitchen, shower that needs to be fixed, and then taking one of the rooms to put an additional shower in, and furniture for the main area, or for the big community center.
All right. Now, we were talking a little bit about this, and you're in the trenches, and Sandra's now in the trenches, but you take it to a different level. And we're talking about the fentanyl problem in Brown County or Green Bay itself. Tell us, Mandy, what you see on a regular basis, day-to-day basis, what you'd go through.
I don't know if people really want to know that. Well, the reason I didn't make it into the station was because I was at a funeral last night with a family. What I see on a regular basis.
I think I was at the same funeral, to be honest
with you. I can tell you it's easier to operate a trap house that is consumed with drugs than it is to operate a sober living house in our county right now.
Why do you say that?
Well, so if you're a sober living house, you have to go, you know, into the state registry to be able to house. And then you have to follow county guidelines, which is one full bathroom to four people, or one full bathroom to three people and a staff member. And that would be our NAR, our WASH, which is Wisconsin Association Sober Housing Standards. But in a trap house, you could house 50, lots of drugs, and nobody even shuts Emily down.
What is the problem like around here that you see? How many fatalities do you think happen on a weekly basis around here from overdoses?
More than this county is told. In the last 2 weeks, I have lost five of my close friends. I know that in all the other counties, a lot of us organizations that are in the trenches right now doing a program that kind of goes in the community and hospital have lost tons of friends. I'd say...
On average in this country,
I can't even tell you the number anymore. Like, it used to be easy, Brett. I could say, well, yeah, somebody passed away of an overdose this month, like two people. But I probably can't even keep track.
But you've lost.
Like, I'm just going to be really honest.
You lost five that you know of in 2 weeks.
Five people I personally knew in 2 weeks. But now we have a grant, you know, and we're in four different counties for that grant. But in Brown County alone, I've gone to two funerals in the last week and a half. And then I went to another funeral for two people in Appleton last week. And then the other funeral I'm not attending because I'm not able to, because I have to get all of our data done, because everything's become data driven.
So everyone, this is Mandy Southers that's talking up right now. Just we had referred to her earlier and she could not make it in. So we were able to get her on the phone. So that's who you're hearing talking.
About the fentanyl problem, the drug problems, this area, and what she's doing to
help
combat them and help it. And Mandy, if you don't mind, I don't want to get too personal with you, but you speak from experience, not just in helping others, but that you went through some dark days too, didn't you?
Yeah, I cleaned up about 12 years ago now. So I wasn't exactly like the best person. My family was, you know, really good people. They ran a really awesome business in Wausau. And I left Wausau to come to Green Bay and owned bars and drank a lot and got five DUIs. I have a felony. So.
And your sister passed away from an opiate overdose as well.
Well, cocaine toxicity.
Okay.
With opiates, yes.
And then.
So that's another area people don't talk about a lot is the cocaine toxicity and the meth and the new drugs that are out right now that are killing people also.
That's what I say. Sandra brought up a name. I can't remember the term of the new
soup.
Soup. What's soup in the drug world right now here?
Soup is a mixture of deadly fentanyl, Xanax, so any benzo, and then it's a drug that we refer to as a trank. So it's the new, I don't know if you've heard of the new zombie drug that's out.
Not really.
I have.
Okay. What's that one?
Okay. So, sorry, I'm trying to get I'm getting you the right spelling because I always tend to spell it wrong sometimes, but it's called xylazine with X, xylazine, which is a animal tranquilizer, and I am probably saying it all wrong right now.
That's all right. But it's an animal tranquilizer that people are taking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mixing it with something else then too? Is that
Xanax.
It? Or
yeah,
Xanax.
So it's mixed with a combination of Xanax and fentanyl.
Wow.
And it's
and they
here.
Call that soup.
Wow. And how deadly is that?
In the mix. Huh?
How deadly is that?
How deadly is that?
Yeah.
Oh, very deadly. So the problem with the drug we know is tranq with fentanyl is that somebody can have a fentanyl overdose. Now, typically, we're going to Narcan the fentanyl overdose, and the person is going to come to from that fentanyl overdose. With the new drug trank, it puts you in a state of unconsciousness for an extended amount of time, and it depends on the person. So now while you're narcating, you could think, oh, well, the person's not waking up. Meanwhile, they could be having a secondary overdose, which could have saved their life, because they are knocked out from the xylazine and not going to wake up from the trank for a couple hours. So there's confusion in when to stop Narcanning and when to continue Narcanning.
This is deep. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's so complicated, and it's so here.
It's so prevalent. That's the scary part. And, well, even like you were saying one day, Sandra, about we're talking about legal marijuana, and didn't you say that up to recently, 50% of the marijuana sold on the street contained fentanyl?
In Brown County. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, like, I feel like we have to, as a community approach the drug problem, we have to meet it where it's at, not where we want it to be at. And a lot of people are involved with marijuana. We do. I mean, it's my own personal feeling that we do need to legalize it so that they have at least have the opportunity to buy something that is not tainted. Versus having to drive to Michigan or Minnesota or Illinois. And then also the more states that we need to legalize it on a national level so they can start researching the components so we can prescribe that versus opiates. There are things we could be doing, but we're stuck on this. It's the gateway drug. And hello, people. It's here. You got to open your eyes.
Wow. Well, Mandy, this is very insightful having you on here.
The other thing is, can I just say this quick?
Yeah.
Because it's so important. So when we have a national crisis, right, or we have, you know, an illness that comes through such as COVID, everything goes to triage state. We put up tents. We help everybody. Right now, if I were to put up tents over at our new location, which is an amazing facility, and I put up a bunch of tents and I put something on Facebook that said, everybody come to the tents right now to get off drugs, right? It's free services. We're going to have doctors and nurses and counselors, and you're going to get treated right away like we did when the COVID hit. We would have as many people in that yard as we did when COVID hit.
Wow.
And so in my eyes right now, this is an epidemic. This is a problem. All of my friends are dying. All of my parents, I know their people, their kids are dying, and this isn't getting better. And a lot of the users out there,
Mandy, we gotta run. We're hitting the break. Okay. I'm so. We're gonna have you on again. This is so insightful. It's unbelievable. Thank you so much. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. Mike on the Mayor. The Mayor is the day off. Sandra Rank filling in. Well, that was chilling, insightful, educational, scary. About 14 things all rolled into one with Mandy, especially with her saying she's lost five people in the last 2 weeks.
There was a time earlier this year where we had 10 deaths in Brown County in 1 week.
Wow.
So the average across the country, I think the average I heard last was 500 deaths a day from fentanyl.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we don't have that many. If a terrorist thing was happening, we had that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And that's what people talk about, like in politics. Like, yeah. The drugs come from China. They're dropped in the water by Mexico, assembled, and brought over the borders. Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a lot of components to the fentanyl issue. But the biggest thing to think about, like why is it so bad? And is it a phase that we're going to go through it? No. Fentanyl is pennies to produce. That's why you can't even buy heroin in Green Bay anymore, because fentanyl is so cheap, comparatively speaking. I think it costs them, I'll make it up, like 2 cents to make a serving, and they're selling it for like $20.
Well, didn't Biden actually bring that up to the president of China? I'm so terrible politically. It's not the president of China. What would that be called, Todd? Not the president of China, the
emperor?
I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, they're one of the big producers of fentanyl. Then, well, I guess it goes to Mexico, and then it gets put together, and then it comes to the United States, right? But, I mean, Biden actually mentioned fentanyl to the premier, that's what I'm trying to, okay, of
but
China.
What China said in response was, that's a United States problem. We export ingredients.
Right, exactly.
That's not our problem. And right. It's a big export for them. And then when they – we can get into this, but when they sent Nancy Pelosi to – I think it was to Taiwan, they were like, hey, you're going to play that game? Guess what? All bets are off. We're letting all those ingredients go. Anyway, that is an overwhelming problem, right? But we can't control the borders. But going back to what can we do? We can support people that are trying to help.
Absolutely, right.
We can educate. So let's focus on what we can do.
Beautiful. Got a text here. Shout out to Mandy for doing what she's doing. We have supplied the house on Shano Avenue for her and the program, and we have seen what's happening in that neighborhood and how much she's doing to help. Thank you again, Bill from Resurrection. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And that's the thing, we want to help out. We want to go there and paint or rip out carpeting or do whatever we have to do.
Right.
And I bet that funeral she was at last night is the same one.
It is. I know.
Myself
it is.
And Jim and Christy were at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was like you said, so sad, you can't believe it.
Right.
And again, the perception when people might, because I guarantee you there's people out there, well, you know what? They put the gun to their heads, they blah, blah, blah. You know, I guarantee that. And that's fine. And that's an argument for a whole different day
and
or whatever.
And also they think it's people that aren't them.
Exactly.
It's the people that live under the bridge.
Exactly. And it's not. It's
no.
business people. It's successful.
It's my son.
Business people. It's your son. Great looking, wonderful young man from a great family. And yes, there's such a, that slight
misperception
of that. And so anyway, but that's great having Mandy on.
Yep,
and
we're going to keep wonderful.
Harping on that,
her,
do whatever we can
to
help support her. So
yes.
We get some manpower out there and help every way we can.
And thank you for taking the time to come and see the facility.
Absolutely.
And if anybody is out there that wants to take a look at it, Mandy will show it to you. I would be happy to show it to you. I mean, I really want to do what we can to help her.
Absolutely. It's on Dan's Avenue.
Correct.
Yes. So it could be a great facility.
It could be.
I mean, it had been a special
It was like a holding type. Place for like the county.
Yeah.
When the county didn't know where else to put you, they put you there.
Right. But it's also one of those things where it's like structurally, it just needs some upkeep.
It needs some love.
It needs some love. Absolutely.
Needs some love.
It's been neglected for quite some time.
Needs some big love.
Absolutely. And the part that you're really going to be involved in is when you first walk in, I don't want people having that feeling like you had when you dropped off Mitch. And it's like, oh, we want it to be nice and welcoming. And it's like, hey, fresh start. Yep. You know, here's...
Promise.
You know, exactly. I think they'll just
and
feel
hope.
Better about
hope
themselves.
Hope is the big thing. Hope.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's really great that you're doing that. Such the worst tragedy that there is, really, let's be honest. And you're not hiding someplace in a corner and trying to ignore it and saying, well, I suffered enough. I'm not going to touch it anymore. You are, well, like I said, we've used this term a couple of times. You are right in the trenches with this, fighting this battle.
Thank you. And I'm not happy to be there, but I'm willing to be there.
Awesome. And that's why I'm glad you're filling in. We've had a whole hour basically talking about this. Then we're going to have fun in the next hour.
Yes.
But this is something that's so important right now. And you know who I'd love to get on? Well, we're going to have a firefighter on. Todd, when are we going to have the...
Friday. I'm sorry. Monday at 7:30.
Okay. This gentleman is going to talk a little bit about, because we mentioned it to him the other day. They're from Howard Fire Department, and they were at our Veterans Day event at Duck Creek VFW. And I was talking to one of their guys. We're talking about how many calls they even get on this for overdoses. And I'd love to talk to some paramedics or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the ones that really see it.
Yep.
What it's like.
50% of the police calls are drug related in our area.
50%.
Yep. And that was 2 years ago.
50% of all police calls.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Isn't that something?
And they have to think about what they have to deal with. Like, and the drugs are so crazy today. They don't even know. Look at the big dismembering case we had.
Yeah.
I mean, the drugs make people do insane things.
Yeah. I was talking to a lady that's got an office, very successful business downtown Green Bay. And she was talking about the syringes they find in their doorway.
Yep.
You know, people shooting up at night and trying to hide from...
Every time I go by a police officer, drive by, walk by, whatever, I always say a prayer for them and thank them in my mind.
What a job they've got, huh? Sit and complain about loud motorcycles. You know,
I mean, they got a tough job.
Such bigger problems out there in the world.
Yep.
Wow. Very cool stuff.
Well, and thank you guys for being willing to talk about it, because it's not a topic really anybody, including myself, really wants to talk about.
Well, no, you don't, but it's there. It's that elephant in the room. And you faced it personally. I faced it again, you know, us last night, and just the trauma that family's going through.
And here's
their beautiful son laying there. And
and here's the other thing about that trauma. There's like the trauma of obvious that person's dead, but you have no concept of what that family and that individual experienced with this drug.
Right.
It is a living nightmare, and there's no help. So, I mean, it's like you feel like you're in a black box and you can't get out of it. So, I mean, there's the trauma of the death, but then there's the experience of getting to the death where it's a relief. The death is a relief because there's such misery.
Yeah.
We found Mitchell's diaries and some in the last couple of months, and some of the things he wrote in there about being just strangleholded by this drug reignited my fire to be like, okay, oh my gosh, we need help. We need to get help to people.
Wow. And you're doing it. You're carrying the mantle for those people. That's fantastic. That's a lot of courage, because I'm sure there's a lot of pain with what you're doing, and your life would be a lot easier if you literally said, you know what, I'm just going to, horrible tragedy, and I'm going to love them till the day I die or whatever, and carry those memories. But instead, you're out there rolling up your sleeves to help others.
Yes.
I mean, for nothing, as far as like no benefits towards you, except
helping.
That's what I mean. It's not, you're not getting paid. You're not a spokesperson. You're just going into these places and trying to help.
Right.
Awesome.
Raise awareness on what you can do today, because you can do something.
Outstanding. We're going to be talking a lot more about this down the road. Okay.
All right.
That was a good hour of that.
Yep.
Glad we did it. And
thank you.
If anybody has any questions, please text us here. We'll put you in touch with Sandy or Mandy or whomever. And all right, when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on. And Dennis from the Glam Band will make an appearance. Bart Starr Jr. at the bottom of the hour. A lot of stuff going on. Back after this.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Talk of Green Bay WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.